Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
In fact, it's a school in Alabama. I had I had no idea.
Wow.
Jack State is Alabama. Okay,
I've never seen him here before.
Nor have I. All right, Kansas, Michigan State.
I have Michigan State.
Not a lot of people are going that way. Do you have a particular reason?
No, I just, it seems close. I don't really look at the numbers here, so I wasn't even sure what they meant. So
fantastic. They're the seeds. Don't worry about it.
It's more about the names than the numbers.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
Plausibly live, then, from an as-yet-undisclosed third-floor location in Chevy Chase, Maryland. We are on the air with Tori Clark and Gary Braun and Michael Kornheiser. Nigel is going to run things, as always. Later in the show, Barry Sveluga,
run things.
Howard Fineman, and Seth Davis will join us, and they will pick brackets. I have to say this. I mean, we do this every year, and I don't know if it's wise in podcast world. I don't know if people want 4 days. I assume that everybody has a bracket. This drops at 11 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Pacific, so the games don't start till noon, so you can listen to whoever's doing brackets today.
You have an hour to make your changes.
Scrub through this part. Go right to Barry.
Amend, your bracket. I just don't. What do you think, Tor? Do you think people? I mean, they know us.
Completely anecdotally, but I think it's very, very sincere. The number of people over the last week or so, when are they doing brackets? You know,
so they like it.
Yeah, and they know who won the past years. Well, Phil's mom, very popular.
Yes, Phil's mom is popular.
Also anecdotal based on the cyber reaction. Certainly there are some that do not like it, but most of the feedback I get is that people love it. It's their favorite time of the year.
I think it was the crowd outside this morning. It was waiting to hear.
Yeah, they're very excited about it. Michael, you're in charge of monitoring social media. My feeling is that whatever the threshold number is, it's probably below 20%, above 20%. So if more than 20% of the people hate
something. Well, no one's going to do anything for 20%. Yeah. We had this conversation yesterday.
You don't go Lord
Tatum. We're not going to change for
20%. So what is your sense of it?
Generally strong response. A lot of people wait all year long just to hear the Spike Braun picks and the Phil's mom. So I think they get tired of some of the same voices, that you might hear on other shows, but we don't really do that.
We don't have voices from any other shows.
No. I think that's
Seth
why
Davis will be our only voice from another show.
But that's why your bracket shows are different than what you might find in other shows.
We have rank amateurs doing this and degenerate gamblers.
Right.
Who are going to be very, very important to the culture.
I think people like to hear those.
Yeah.
I think they like to hear those different sides of some voices that they hear in other spaces.
By the way, I just noticed earlier this morning, I had a copy of the Washington Post, and they have this new slogan, democracy dies in darkness.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't they pick what anybody would pick, which would be this? Come on, man. What are we even doing out here, man? I mean, do we have that? Can you play that? I owned a news, I own a restaurant. I may make that the motto of the restaurant. Let's play that.
You can't do it. No, because I don't have
that. I surprised you.
Here you go.
Come on, man.
That's
what the hell are we even doing out here?
That's the general.
Man.
So I gave my bracket to one of the Cliffies at work, and I had him fill it out for me, and then he gave it back to
me
yesterday.
Started, then I'll edit.
And then I changed, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12
What'd
of them.
What'd you end up with in your final
four? Well, I got Arizona. I mean, I want Arizona winning.
To win the whole thing.
To win the whole thing. So I had to get to that. He had Arizona in the final four. I think Cliffy had UNC beating Arizona, and I just changed that. Have you seen my bracket?
I have a photo of your bracket.
Yeah,
you can't even take the 3 minutes to fill out your own bracket?
Can't be bothered with it.
Well,
you fill it out, and I'll fix it.
I'll just explain that Cliffy's are our interns, and we I call them all Cliffy's because I don't really want to remember any of their names. And this kid's really good. He's a Georgetown student. He's really good. And I think he knows
what? Picking brackets?
He's good at being a Cliffy. No, he's very enthusiastic. He knows how to do research. He's good. He's the kind of kid who would get a job. And to me, I said, well, why don't you just pick the bracket for me? And then I destroyed his bracket.
I've lived in Washington for a long, long time and believe I'm outsourcing a lot and delegating a lot. I think filling out your own bracket is one thing maybe you could do.
Well, I filled out half of it. I mean, by the way, we have a very big announcement to make.
We do.
It's happy anniversary to Gary Braun.
Oh, thank
Gary
you,
Braun
Mr.
and Kim
Tony.
Braun.
Yeah, we have an anniversary.
Which number is this?
21 years.
You're a man.
Wow.
You're
21 years. Yeah. 7 of the best years of my life.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Let me do a little bit of self-interest here, which is to tell people to go to Chad's. To tell people to go to Chad's at the District Line in Friendship Heights at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue and Jennifer Street Northwest for the games today. Now, you're saying, why you want to do that? Well, I'm doing it to make money. But one of the reasons you would do it is because Gary Williams will be there. Gary Williams will be there. We got a lot of TVs, right, Michael?
At least 10.
We got
10.
Like 10 TVs.
And they must be big because you can see them from the street.
They're big.
They're big TVs. They're brand new TVs. They're within
nice
the last 2 months.
Audio, piping it in.
Everything we got the TVs. We hired extra bartenders because we were expecting a crowd. Because apparently the Maryland Alumni Society.
Yeah.
What is that?
The Maryland Alumni Association. Kim got an email that Gary was going to be there. But why would anyone want to just sit at the bar and share a beer with a guy who's won a national title while watching the tournament?
So Gary will be there.
Where's the fun in that?
And Gary said, he wrote me an email the other day, and he said, you know, you can tell people I'm going to go, and I'll talk to the fans. And I just thought, well, it's just not going to last.
Sounds like someone who's never agreed to do that before.
It's not going to last a very long time. And then I'm envisioning what it's like, and it's like Santa. It's like you go to see Santa. You sit on Santa's lap, you request something, and if you've seen Bad Santa, you know how Santa's really think.
Remember that time Drew Nicholas hit that shot? That was awesome.
Yeah. I think that Gary, pretty early on, will be surrounded by his closest personal friends who will act as bodyguards,
like
don't you think?
Yeah, you have to have what happens if he doesn't show?
Oh, he'll show.
He'll be there.
That game is 6:40 tonight. Gary's going to be there. Both local teams, University of Maryland, University of Virginia, are both in Orlando. They both play today. They're both playing in Orlando. And so you can see if you're local. Though, I mean, some people will say Virginia Tech is also a local team. I guess it is. I don't know. Yeah, it is Virginia Tech. Are they playing today, Virginia Tech?
I think that is a Friday game, but
okay,
I will check it.
Well, Chad's will be open on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, and they're going to have the 10 TVs, and you're welcome to come and spend your hard-earned dough.
And I highly recommend, if you go to Chad's, that you try the ahi tuna tacos.
Yeah,
don't be fooled by the fact that it's an appetizer. It's a huge portion. And what I understand is one of Gary's favorites as well. Is that correct, Mike?
He demanded it to be on the menu.
Gary likes that. What Gary doesn't like is anything vegetarian.
Vegetarian
okay,
chili.
Gary
not the Wilbon chili.
Right. The Wilbon chili is not vegetarian. Gary believes that vegetarian products are the ruination of America. So even though we have some vegetarian products, we try not to let Gary see that part.
It's a no-kale zone, right?
Yeah, bring that up with him tonight when he's watching the game.
For Gary, that would...
He'll welcome that discourse.
That would get him very,
veganism.
Very excited, I would
that.
Think. In local news, and I wanted to talk about this a little bit. I watched the Wizards a little bit last night. You know, I'm wondering. What happens is
you're lost.
I go on to True TV because I know that they're showing the play-in games.
Right.
And I watch the play-in games for a little while, but I have to be honest. UC Davis, North Carolina Central.
It's not moving the needle.
And not for me. I mean, I'm watching.
No, I totally agree.
Did you watch it? Yeah, it was all right.
It was a good game.
Are you throwing up?
Because anything about North Carolina,
Fleming.
I get all choked up.
Because
but
you
NC
went to
Central,
State.
The
you went to North Carolina State for
jacket.
An hour.
Did you see his jacket, the coach's jacket?
Yeah, the red and white jacket.
Spectacular. The thought he put into that jacket.
And they lost.
They lost, but it was a good game. It was close at the end.
It was a fine game, just like the Mount St. Mary's game was a fine game. But I really believe that the next time around, that team's going to lose by 35 points.
Yes.
Like the other night, the Mount St. Mary's wins. They draw Villanova.
Nice story.
And this team draws Kansas,
sacrificial
right?
Sacrificial lamb. Let me correct myself earlier. Virginia Tech does, in fact, play tonight, 9:40.
There you go.
In Buffalo.
There you go. Now, when is the Virginia game? Tonight.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that's also today, but I think that's an earlier game. Virginia tips at... Checking, 12:40.
Chads is open.
There you go.
With a lot of TVs and extra bartenders.
Yes.
Okay, so you can go there. So I watched a little of that. I didn't stay. The USC game, I didn't post. I didn't care. USC won the game.
Yes,
well,
they did.
But I didn't care. So, did you watch that one too? I watched the Wizards.
No, but I love watching those games because it's the greatest moment of those kids' lives, right?
Yes, it is.
They're just
it
having
cool.
a blast.
It
it's
is
fun.
Cool.
Yeah,
it's a good
even
vibe.
Though
the difference is when they get open threes at the end of games to try and tie something up or take the lead, they miss those shots.
Clank,
this
clank.
Weekend, they make them.
Yeah.
Providence was crushing at halftime of that game.
Crushing USC?
Yeah.
That could have cost Andy Enfield his job if they lost that game.
USC went 46-27 in the second half to win by four.
So they were down a million.
Yeah, yeah.
The problem I've got in the bracket is the problem. This is living on the East Coast. I don't know the Pac-12. I'm willing to believe they are the best conference in the country or no good at all, and I just don't know. Because
right.
It looks like Oregon and Arizona and UCLA are really good.
Yeah.
But I just don't know. I haven't seen them play any – I haven't seen them. I have no idea. So anyway.
We'll find out here in a couple
we'll
weeks.
Get
we'll
to the Wizards. Do you have notes
out.
On the Wizards, Tori?
I do.
Okay. The Wizards lost at home last night to a bad Dallas team. This is their second loss in a row.
Didn't Boo, your dog, help you with the notes?
No, she helped me with brackets.
The bracket. Brackets.
Yeah. How exactly did your dog help you?
Because on some of them, I just didn't know. So I'd kind of put one
team
over here.
Ask the guy who has a monkey pick football games.
Exactly. And one team over here, and which side she seemed more interested in, I went with that.
Is there an example of that you have?
Well, I think that's how I ended up with Duke.
Okay. Which bothers you.
It bothers me
you
tremendously.
Hate Duke.
I hate Duke.
And you picked Duke. And you hate Duke.
I hate Duke with the passion of a thousand suns. Hate it.
But the dog.
Got to go with the dog.
Did Boo like Gonzaga, who has a bulldog as a mascot?
I can't remember how far.
The last person influenced by his dog was the son of Sam. I mean, is that really where you want to go on this?
How'd that work out for you?
Not well. Did not work well. What's Tori have?
How far did Boo have Gonzaga
What looks
going?
Like a dog pick?
Gonzaga goes to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, that's about right.
The dog has four ACC teams, though, in the Final Four.
Wow.
She's an ACC dog.
Dog, yeah. Showing a little East Coast bias.
How long? Were you at NC State for more than an hour?
2 years.
And but it's...
Most of it at Mitch's Tavern on Hillsborough.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
you're
not a serious student.
And I one time served a beer to David Thompson. So...
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal.
Skywalker.
In those days, ACC was the best basketball.
How do you feel about that whole Greensboro thing? Beheim won last night. I watched that. I watched Syracuse in the NIT last night to see if Boeheim could win
that game close?
Against Greensboro. Yeah, it was close, but Syracuse got out to about 10 points right at the end of the first half. It never went below four.
And then they
Do you like what Boeheim said about Greensboro, or do you hate that? He said it was worthless.
That they shouldn't go back there.
Yeah.
I
kind of agree with them.
I do, too, from a business standpoint. Yeah. I mean, I agree. All right, so I watched the Wizards. They lost to a bad Dallas team.
40 points.
I watched the fourth quarter where the other team got 30, where Dallas got 39 points in the fourth quarter. And Dirk Nowitzki, who was wheezing and gasping because he's 100 years old, had about 30 points in the fourth quarter. At one point, halfway through the quarter, the Wizards had 7 turnovers. And were 13-0. The other team won 13-0. Right.
They entered the fourth quarter. Now, you're home after a long and successful
Coast
road trip against a team 10 games under 500. You're up 7 points to start the fourth quarter. And boom, 13-0. And then the Wizards were in chase mode. The Wizards were on like 11, got it to actually within 2 with seconds left.
John Wall scored 100 points after it really mattered. Yeah. Yeah. And never got them to the point where they tied the game and never got them to the point where they were leading in the game. They gave
That's
up
a bad loss, Tony.
112 points to the Dallas Mavericks, who are the worst offensive team in the NBA. What did you think of that game?
Well, my understanding, which we know, my knowledge of this, we could fit in a thimble, is that they've been getting warned about their defense, or lack thereof, for several games now. And then this was the epitome of how bad that can be.
39 in the fourth to a bad team.
Yeah. And I really worry what John Wall was saying after the game. He's like, boo-hoo-hoo, and this is terrible, and we play like this, we're going to get out early.
Out of the playoffs.
Terrible.
The team I think will catch and pass Cleveland. I mean,
that's a team
that was 8-23 on the road against a team that had as many wins as anyone.
At home,
26-9, the Wizards.
Best record since the All-Star break.
And they went from looking like, oh, my God, they could catch Cleveland and certainly have a nice hold on second. They got a game with Boston coming up. They're now a game and a half behind Boston. There's only 14 games left.
Wasted 69 points among Wall, Beal, and Bogdanovich.
Yeah.
Just wasted.
That was a bad loss.
Yeah.
I mean, that loss could cost them the home court against
Boston.
In
the second round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, in the second round. And they're pretty good against Boston most of the
time.
So that was a bad loss. Is there anything else to discuss?
Nothing.
No. Did you find your glove?
No, I lost a glove yesterday.
I know, we heard.
Here's what happened.
Oh my God.
Do you want to play it?
I don't think we can play it.
We would have to
voicemail around 1 p.m. in the afternoon, and it just starts with, "I lost a glove."
I did.
Very plain.
I had gloves on my hands. I took the gloves off as I parked my car in the garage to go to PTI. I didn't have gloves leaving the car, so I figured I left them in the car. I got back. There's one glove. The left glove is on the console.
Sad.
The right glove is nowhere to be found. And I think what most caring and responsible and adoring parents would do, I called my son and just left a message about the fact that I'd lost a glove. A relatively upbeat conversation for me that I'd lost a glove. Because I think I said in the voicemail, Michael, I can buy another pair of gloves.
Yeah, you conceded that you can get another pair, yeah. And
but
that you have others at home.
Out. But it's cold out.
But it's cold.
It was
it's
a
cold.
Very zen monologue on the loss of a glove.
Really it was very zen. It was very NPR sounding. Like yeah, a little soliloquy
kind of a Garrison
Saturday
Keillor
Saturday at 2 in the afternoon on NPR.
Yeah. It was hysterical.
And everybody, Michael played
and
it today,
fact,
and
Tony
everybody
said,
laughed at me.
When hearing it, oh my God, I sound like that. And I said, only when you talk.
Okay, but here's an important question. I often lose one glove. I think they often fall off my lap when I get out of the car, and it's under the car for months. But so it's March, really. It's very cold out, all that. But do you want to commit to a new pair of gloves at the end of March?
No. Well, here's what I would do.
Be cheap at the outlets this summer.
If I go to Delaware and I go to the outlet stores, since we're right at the end of the season, I believe I can get a good pair of gloves for $20, $30.
But then where are you going to put them till next winter? And will you remember where you put them?
Put them on the dash of the car.
I guess I'd put them in the glove compartment.
Wow.
And then I would forget.
Why would you keep gloves in a glove compartment?
You get a string and just put them around your neck. Yeah. That way you'll never lose them.
I lose gloves. I lose scarves. Mm-hmm. I have them one day and then I don't have them the next day and I don't know where they've been.
Pants,
and I look like immediately
that.
In the dog cage.
Kills accessories like he kills dogs.
Yeah. Buried some. A great note to go out on. We will take a break. Barry Zwerluga will join us as we get into the serious business of picking brackets. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Chores can seem endless. Chores? What, do you still get an allowance too? So polish your car while you shine up your life with Audible. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks and other audio products. The other audio products really help your life get that glossy finish. Users can sign up as an Audible listener, which gives them book credits and access to short programs, now playing in channels each month for a low monthly fee. Customers download their choices and can access them on their iPhone, Android device, Kindle, iPod, or other MP3 player. Come on, even I have one of these devices. I used to only listen to nonfiction audio where I could learn something. But maybe now I need to queue up some business titles with my recent ventures. Maybe I'd be better off looking in self-help or fantasy. Okay, back to the copy. No matter what genre of book you read, Audible has it. And now I'm able to enjoy a walk with my dog and listen to my favorite books. And you can too. You can listen to books on walks with your dog. That is, you can't take Chessie yet. I wonder if Chessie listened to the Monk book when training me. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audible.com/Tony and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free. Start listening. It's that easy. Go to audible.com/Tony. That is audible.com/Tony and get started today.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Very Elvis-y. Very Elvis-y. Kevin Martin of Ventura, California. The name of the band is Rock Cats Rock. The name of this song is Prison Break, which is very Elvis-y, obviously with Jailhouse Rock. And to conclude the Elvis analogy, he recorded this at Sun Records, which is where Elvis started. So it's good, too. It's very, very good. He plays in Barry Zwerluga. Barry is in Orlando, where the two local teams that this area considers local, University of Virginia and University of Maryland, they're both there, right, Barry? Both are in Orlando?
One representing the ACC and one representing the Big Ten. So, yes, they're both here.
And then you'll be able to, you know, maybe play 18 at Bay Hill tomorrow? You get 18 in the Palmer Invitational?
18, probably go to spring training. There's plenty of opportunity here in Orlando.
Fantastic. Are you ready to pick brackets for us?
I've got it right in front of me.
Okay, so let us start in the Kansas region. And let us take any upsets at all. Remember, as we caution Bob Ryan all the time, an upset would be a 9 over an 8.
So, in that vein, I take the 9 Michigan State over the 8 Miami.
Okay.
I'm a big Izzo guy in the tournament. I take Nevada, the 12, over Iowa State, the 5.
Uh-huh.
I take Rhode Island, the 11, over Creighton, the 6. And I take Oklahoma State, the 10 over Michigan, the 7, which probably is not a very popular pick given what Michigan did last week in Washington.
I think, you know, the 12 fives and the 10 sevens are where everybody usually goes. I mean, they don't even, necessarily. They convince themselves that 12 fives and 10 sevens happen all the time, so they go for them. Okay, Kansas, Michigan State. How long does Izzo's run last? Do they boot Kansas?
Yeah, they boot Kansas. I'm just not a self guy in the tournament. And this is not like, it doesn't mean I'm going to have a crazy bracket. You just started with the one where I'm going to get rid of the one seed early. So, and they bowed out of the Big 12 tournament, and Self does not have a good record as a one seed at Kansas. So, otherwise, I'll stay. I'll have Purdue over Nevada. I will have Oregon the 3 over the upsetting Rams of Rhode Island and Danny Hurley. I will have Louisville for Howard Fineman, the 2 over Oklahoma State, the 10.
Okay, so now you have a Big Ten matchup. They've played each other at least twice, Michigan State and Purdue. Purdue was a champion of the Big Ten. I assume you have Purdue moving on.
I don't.
Wow.
What are you doing?
Michigan State stinks.
I know. And I get a little bit sucked in. First of all, the whole Big Ten stinks. So let's not distinguish one stinkage from another there.
Okay.
And I will take the stinkage that has probably the best coach in the league and one of the best coaches in the country. I'm not propping this up as some sort of, I don't have a lot of kind of true feelings behind it. I just am, this was the region that I tended to pick the most carnage in. So Izzo advances there. And then I guess it's an upset in Oregon over Louisville. A 3 over a 2. I kind of feel like Louisville was probably seeded up a line. They felt more like a 3 to me. I saw them last week in New York against Duke. So I'll go with Oregon there, and then I'll actually go with Oregon to the Final Four. Now some of this is done to be at least counterintuitive in one bracket. I don't think a lot of people are going to pick the Ducks. Because
you're the only person in all of the sort of celebrity people that we have in this bracket, and we're probably going to end up with close to 20, I would think. You are the only one, to my knowledge, who has picked Oregon. You're it.
So that is correct.
That's how you, if you're going to win, you have to fall your way that other people don't have. So.
Exactly. Okay, so let's go to the Carolina bracket then, which is the hardest at the top. The 1, 2, 3 are the hardest. So you tell me what you've done there.
So Seton Hall, nominally an upset over a 9 over 8 Arkansas. I think this is, everybody in the world is going to have this, and I feel almost bad about it. Everybody's going to take Middle Tennessee over Minnesota, the 12 over the 5. So I have that. This is one that most people won't take. I have Kansas State, the 11 that had to win one of the play-in games, over Cincinnati, the 6. And that is all by way of upsets in the first round.
So you take Dayton over Wichita State, who many people believe is the most underseeded team in the whole tournament.
And I do that exactly for the reason that I feel like everybody is going. This is not based in basketball, although I am kind of interested in Dayton's coach, Archie Miller.
Yes.
Used to play at NC State. I'm kind of, NC State's job is open. I want to hear more about him. He's Sean Miller's brother, the coach at Arizona. So no real reason other than everybody else has probably taken Wichita State, so I'll try to get on Dayton there.
Do you think Archie Miller will get the job at NC State?
So here's the thing. I mean, he left. He played for Herb Sendek, who was kind of ousted there, went to Arizona State. People that were there around Sendek's time did not like the way things were handled. There's a lot of, I don't know if it's animosity, but there are strained feelings between Archie Miller and his alma mater, I am told. So okay. I'm not sure it's just a layup that he would take that job.
Okay. All right, UNC Seton Hall.
I have Carolina. I have the 4 seed Butler over Middle Tennessee State. I have UCLA over Kansas State, and I have Kentucky over Dayton. So I have absolute chalk, 1, 2, 3, 4.
And by the way, setting up what anybody would say is the one Sweet 16 match they want to see, which is UCLA and Kentucky. Everybody wants
absolutely,
to see that.
Absolutely, see that. Yes.
All right, UNC Butler.
I have Carolina. I have UCLA over Kentucky. I think that Kentucky, not that they shouldn't have been a 2 seed, But they were, if you go through the committee's rankings 1 through 68, they were the strongest two seed. I don't think they should have been the strongest two seed. I think the SEC was incredibly down this year. Even though they won the championship, I don't feel like it's a top-level Calipari team. And UCLA scores and scores and scores and scores and scores. And they have maybe the best player in the country in Lonzo Ball. So I'll take UCLA.
So you have UCLA then beating UNC?
I do not.
You do not have
Carolina. And I have Carolina because, to me, they look the part. I mean, they have all the pieces. They have probably underperformed over the course of the year. They've had a couple of injuries. But when you see them and they play at their best, I just think they're the best. They're the best team in the country on their top end. So
that's the Jay Billis position as well, that at their best, they are the best. So let's move over now to Villanova. This is not the most interesting bracket in the world unless you get Villanova and Duke, the two teams in the country that are the same team. One is older, but the same team in the sense that they play seven guys, and this is the way they play. And so there's no disadvantage for either team if you have them meeting in the regional finals. So give me what you have in terms of upsets.
So I said that my Kansas region was the one with all the upsets. This one, as it turns out, I just went down. I mean, the only upset I have in the first round is Marquette at 10 over South Carolina, and I don't think that Vegas would call that much of an upset. So pretty much chalk right through the first round there.
Okay, well, that's reasonable. Okay, so then Wisconsin, which, and I assume you would agree with this, the Wisconsin-Kentucky game 2 years ago is one of the five best games I've ever seen in college basketball. Just great.
Yeah.
So I have a soft spot for Wisconsin as a result of that. Wisconsin-Villanova, who you got?
Well, I do, and I also think that Wisconsin, if you're the number one overall seed in Villanova, Wisconsin is an extraordinarily difficult matchup for a second-round matchup,
In
terms of the way they play and what they do. And I also think, if I think Minnesota is overseeded as a five, I think Wisconsin, who finished ahead of Minnesota in the Big Ten standings, is probably underseeded as an eight.
Yeah.
That said, Villanova is the number one overall seed, and I will take Nova to advance.
Okay. As you can imagine, one of the upset picks that a lot of people make is UNC Wilmington. You have Virginia, so you have Virginia, Florida. Who do you like?
I have Florida there. I just feel like I thought about UNC Wilmington, but how you do these things. You look at your other brackets. I already had two 12s over a five. I feel like a lot of people are going to pick UNC Wilmington.
Yes.
UVA hasn't played as well. So I'll go a little bit counterintuitive and take the Cavs, but I do have Florida beating them and Virginia bowing out in the first weekend.
Okay, so you have SMU against Baylor, two Texas schools.
So I have SMU beating Baylor as a six over a three. I do feel like I was surprised that SMU wasn't a five seed rather than a six. Does that mean they're automatically gonna win two games? No, but I like picking teams that people don't really know that much about to advance, a little bit further, because then again, I think you pick up something against the field if you can sneak an SMU through.
Do you know that if I went through this bracket and I picked only schools that Larry Brown used to coach, I could get three Final Four teams?
Legitimately.
Yeah. I could get SMU, UCLA, Kansas. I could get three Final Four teams. I got nobody in the bottom bracket. Amazingly, he didn't coach anybody.
Well, just put the Sixers in there, and you're fine.
Yeah, okay.
Or the Pistons.
All right, Duke Marquette, the teacher versus the student. Who you got?
I'll take the teacher. I mean, I think the teacher's team is playing pretty darn well right now.
Villanova, Florida.
I have Villanova, and I have Duke in the bottom, and that's as much
because
who wouldn't want to see that game?
Absolutely.
And then I'll take the defending national champs out of that, and that I feel like is a 51-49 toss of a coin. Everybody wants to watch it. 2-point game should be fun.
Villanova is they're not underseeded because they're the overall number one, but they're underappreciated, and they're underappreciated
Absolutely.
For two very obvious reasons. One is that not only is the Big East down, but it's not on TV anymore, and you can say, well, it's on Fox Sports 1, but it's not like
TV.
It used to be. It's not like it used to be. And the second reason is that Villanova doesn't have anybody where you say, well, I got to see him in the pros. Villanova's a great college team. They are. They're a great college team.
I think they do have guys that Josh Hart, the Big East Player of the Year, is a guy you have to see in college. And Chris Jenkins Gonzaga Prep on North Capitol Street is a guy you have to see in college and is a guy who has a moment in college that will live forever and ever and ever and ever.
So the best.
I like their team. I like their coach. I saw them win the Big East championship last week in New York.
Yeah.
They do have a little bit more kind of experience edge over Duke, so I'll go with them.
All right, let's go to the Gonzaga region, and you tell me what you've got.
So upsets, again, I guess I may have a bunch of nines over eights, but I have Vandy over Northwestern.
Oh, Wilbon.
Because, everybody will pick the Wildcats because of their story, and I get it, and that's a great story, and it would be great to have Chris Collins go further in the tournament, but I feel like nobody's going to pick Vandy, so I will pick Vandy.
Okay.
How about the number of bow ties in the crowd at that game, by the way?
Tremendous amount.
Yeah, huge. I have other upsets in that region. I have VCU over St. Mary's, and that's really based on nothing other than wanting to pick another another lower seed.
This is the last quadrant that I filled out, so I put in Florida Gulf Coast just because I got tired of not picking upsets, so I just picked it anyway. But I have no basis for it whatsoever. Okay, so Gonzaga, Vanderbilt.
I have the Zags. I do have Notre Dame as a slight upset of 5 over the 4 West Virginia. That's probably my ACC bias showing through. I have the Seminoles over the Terrapins.
I
do. Okay. I think, don't you think you've been through a bunch of brackets with people now. Are a lot of people picking Xavier over Maryland?
No. Not a lot.
No.
A lot of people are dumping Virginia early, but not a lot. A lot of people are, in fact, picking Florida Gulf Coast because you look at Florida State and they look really good, but the last third of the season, they lost a lot of games. Lot of games. And that kid Bacon, who's supposed to be so great, wasn't very good. So
you're totally right. I think they have been less than the sum of their parts for the better part of part of the season. And they're super they really look the part. I mean they're super big and athletic, but they don't play really well together. That said, I have them winning 2 games in the tournament. So they're through, and then I have Arizona over VCU. I think people sleep on Pac-12 schools because they're usually sleeping when they play. So.
All right, Gonzaga, Notre Dame. When do you take Gonzaga
out? I'll get the Zags out. I mean, they're going to get out. You might as well take them out.
I agree.
Who do you have anybody taking the Zags to the Final Four?
Phil's mom.
She hasn't won the whole thing.
Dangerous. Yeah, Phil's mom.
That's dangerous then. And I have Arizona over FSU for all the reasons we just discussed about both those teams. And then I'll take Arizona into the Final Four.
So you've got 2 Pac-12 teams in the Final Four. Villanova, Arizona.
I'm going to take Arizona, even though everything tells me that Villanova is the better team. I'm going to take Arizona because I feel like the charmed run for Nova came last year, and even though this is in a lot of ways there are a lot of the same parts, they did lose 2 key seniors off of last year's team, and I feel like asking them to make the same kind of charmed run is a little bit much. So back-to-back Final Fours would be great. I'll take Arizona and Sean Miller into the final.
Oregon, UNC.
Carolina, I mean, for the reasons that that we discussed, I just feel like at their best, and this is assuming a lot because they haven't consistently played at their best over the course of the year, but at their best, I think Carolina is the best team.
So in my bracket, I've got Arizona against UCLA in the final game, and while UCLA to win, I just think to myself, if Arizona, and Sean Miller has never gotten there, he's the Colin Montgomery of college basketball coaching, if Arizona gets there, they're playing home games. And I picked Arizona to win the title. Who do you have?
I have Carolina, and I just repeat it. I mean, Joel Berry as a point guard, and you know, the ACC player of the year that people don't really know, and Justin Jackson and the 2 big guys, Isaiah Hicks and Kennedy Meeks, who I think for Carolina fans' tastes are a little bit inconsistent, but can be dominant at times. They are deep. They can score. If they want to defend, they can. I just you look at them and you're like, wow, that is a team. And, you know, that's a program that obviously has been there and playing in Phoenix against what would essentially be a home team isn't likely to bug them that much.
No, they play a very representative schedule and they're very, very good. I would just say that somebody needs to tell the coach of that team that if Berry is on the bench, don't forget about him like he did against
that
Duke.
That was bad. Well, that was bad. Also point out twice, Roy Williams has won two national championships at Carolina, 2005 and 2009. In both cases, his team lost in the semifinals of the ACC tournament, just as this year's version did against Duke. So I'm not drawing a direct line,
right?
But there is an experience where, you know, the ACC loss against Duke seems like a big deal at the moment to Carolina fans, but it can be wiped away pretty, you know, over a 3-week period pretty quickly.
All right, Barry, that's a very good bracket. You will probably win.
I expect to win. Yes, yeah. That's my attitude. I expect to have
wins
my
every year, doesn't
every
he?
Every day.
So yeah. All right, enjoy Orlando, and if you see the Nats, Boz is apoplectic about how they're going to put their lineup together. That's today's piece by him.
I mean,
how
is he going to March? It's March 16th.
Yeah.
Do we expect Boz to be anything other than apoplectic about the Nets?
Utterly,
how the Nets are going to put their lineup together.
Utterly apoplectic about the lineup.
Right.
Thank you, Barry. Barry Sheluga, boys and girls. We will take a break. We will come back with Howard Fineman, the chief political correspondent of the Tony Kornheiser Show and the intergalactic editor of the Huffington Post.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Movement Watch ad. Movement, it's pronounced Movement. It is spelled MVMT when you want to go to the .com stuff. Movement was founded on the belief that style shouldn't break the bank. The watchmaker's goal is to change the way consumers think about fashion by offering high-quality, minimalist products at revolutionary prices. With over 1 million watches sold to customers in more than 160 countries around the world, Movement Watches has solidified itself as the world's fastest-growing watch company. I do not have a Movement watch. My daughter has a Movement watch,
yes,
which
right.
my son got for her. How does she like that watch so far?
She loves the watch.
She loves the watch. She wears it all the time, even while baking, which is one of her jobs, to bake. And
wow.
She wears the watch.
So it's nice. Baking resistant.
I think Christopher Walken has one of these watches
is
as well,
that
doesn't
right?
he?
We have a Movement watch that we might be able to throw into the prize closet
wow.
for the March Madness tournament.
That's a real prize.
That would be top. Yeah, top
you are new
prize.
To the show.
That's better even than the Drexel
here,
chocolate. The company was started by two broke college kids who wanted to wear stylish watches but could not afford them. So they started their own watch company. And it says here, how is this like how I started, built a following, launched into podcasts, YouTube, radio, etc.? And the answer is it's not. I was not broke. I was doing very well. I went the other way. I impoverished myself to do this. I'm an idiot. These college kids are smarter than I am. Movement watches start at just $95. At a department store, you're looking at $400 to $500. Movement figured out that by selling online, they were able to cut out the middleman and retail markup, providing the best possible price. It's classic design, it's quality construction, it's styled minimalism. Over 1 million watches sold in more than 160 countries. To get 15% off today, and you can do that, with free shipping and free returns, you go to movementwatches.com/Tony. And again, Movement is MVMT, watches.com/Tony. The watch has a really clean design. It's the time to step up your watch game. So go to MVMT, that's movementwatches.com/Tony, and join the movement.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
I like this. It's a movie theme. I like this.
Starring Roy Scheider.
I like this. This is Jesse LaSala of Brooklyn. The name of the band is Machete, and the name of the song is Black Jettas. Jettas like the Volkswagen Jettas?
That's right.
Black Jettas?
Yeah.
I like
Yoda.
This. Michael, if people want to send in their original music, how do they do that?
They can email jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And if they have extra money in their pockets and they'd like to buy some gear from this show, how do they do that?
Looking to help out a startup podcast, they can go to shop.tonykornheisershow.com.
Wonderful. Howard Fineman joins us now. He's the chief political correspondent of the Tony Kornheiser Show. He is the intergalactic editor of the Huffington Post, and he is a graduate of Louisville Law School, and when Louisville is in a tournament, here's what Howard doesn't do. He doesn't knock him out early, okay?
No,
Howard
I don't.
Does
I
not.
Do not.
He does not knock him out early. So let's start on the top right in the Kansas, where Louisville is the two seed, and any upsets at all in the first round?
Yes, I have Michigan State over Miami.
Okay.
That's a mild upset.
Yeah.
And since this is a tournament and fun, why not? I like to look at teams that really get hosed by the committee, and one of them was Vermont.
Yes.
And so I'm picking Vermont and probably to upset Purdue.
Boom.
That would be a big upset. You and Phil's mom have that. Vermont is the champion of the America East, where Binghamton plays.
Okay,
so
that's a big factor, because playing Binghamton really gets you ready for
the
tournament.
I think it does.
They've been forged.
Yeah.
And I like to go look at how teams are doing the last 10 games, and Vermont did very well.
They're 20-0. They've won 20 in a row.
They haven't lost since before Christmas.
And the Catamounts, you know, they've been good in the tournament before. I'm also picking Rhode Island over Creighton.
Wow. Okay.
You know, why not, Tony?
Sure.
And I'm picking Michigan... that's not an upset. Okay,
no,
all right.
That's okay to pick Michigan. It's okay.
All right. Yeah, I'm picking Michigan. But anyway, other upsets. So that's it in the
first
that
round.
Bracket. Yeah.
All right. So Kansas, Michigan State. How far will you go with Michigan State?
Well, another principle that I use in this is coaches, and Izzo is just Izzo, and this is his world. So I'm picking him over Kansas.
You're knocking Kansas out in the second round.
Yeah, I don't like Kansas. I never liked Kansas.
Fantastic.
They're out there in the middle of the country. You know.
Yes, they are. They're exactly in the middle of the country.
You know, exactly. And Michigan is tough. You know, and Izzo is just fantastic. So yes, I'm picking MSU over Kansas.
Okay, Iowa State, Vermont.
I'm picking Iowa State because I think Iowa State is really, really good. I'm picking it's in Oregon, and I'm picking Louisville over.
Of course, you're picking Louisville.
And I'm picking Louisville over Michigan. Although here's where my scientific analysis begins to become an alternative fact. You know, to use Trump terms. By the way, I'm sorry that Trump University isn't in it this year.
Yeah, they should be in it.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm picking Louisville over Michigan, even though. I think Michigan could actually win the whole thing, but I'm picking Louisville because that's my team.
Of course. Louisville, Oregon. Who you got?
I got Louisville. As long as I'm beginning to depart from reality with the Michigan game,
sure.
I'm going to go all the way.
All right, so then who's going to win Michigan? You'll pick
Louisville over Michigan.
Yeah.
Okay, and then down, you want to go to the, where else, where do you want to
go? No, Michigan State, Iowa State.
Oh, I see. Michigan State, Iowa State. I'm gonna pick Iowa State there.
And then you will put Louisville in the Final Four.
Yeah, and I've got Louisville over Oregon, and so, yeah, I've got Louisville in the Final Four.
Okay, I didn't know you'd go to the Final Four, but once you knocked out Kansas, I saw the path for you to do that. Okay, now we'll go to the South, where they have the top three. Is the best top three in the entire bracket. UNC, that's their region. Who you got as upsets?
Okay, I've got Seton Hall upsetting Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And this is maybe somewhat fashionable pick, but I'm going with it. Even though I like Richard Pitino, who got into the tournament with Minnesota, I'm going with the Blue Raiders of Middle Tennessee State.
Okay.
Because they've been playing very well in the last 10 games as well, and I like that last 10-game stat. And then the team that got hosed more than anybody else in the entire tournament is Wichita State. And the notion that they are a 10 seed is
crazy.
Absurd.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so I've got Wichita State just killing Dayton.
They needed to be down there for the committee to justify leaving Illinois State out, right?
Yes.
I mean, like, that was the only way they could do it.
Illinois State should have gotten in 17-1 coach.
I mean, Louisville played Wichita State early in the year, Louisville managed to beat them, but Wichita State has played about as well as anybody in the country in the last few weeks.
Okay, UNC Seton Hall.
Okay, I've got UNC. I've got UNC going all the way to the Final Four, and they're beating I got Wichita State beating Kentucky.
Whoa, okay.
Now, the thing is, I like Kentucky well enough, but, you know, if you're from Kentucky, which I sort of am, ultimately you can't like both teams, and, you know,
I think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. You just can't. You know, like Mitch McConnell, you know, they didn't have Obama. Obama's gone, so they don't have him picking on ESPN. And they went to Mitch McConnell doing picks on ESPN. I don't know if you saw
really?
That.
Really? I did not see it.
No.
Oh, boy, that was great television.
I can't. It's got to be awful.
But anyway, he says he loves both teams. And he went to U of L undergrad and UK law school. But nobody other than a United States senator can claim to like both. So I got Wichita State winning. Then I got North Carolina beating Wichita State.
So you have Wichita State beating UCLA.
Well, actually, I had Cincy beating UCLA.
Oh, okay.
And the reason there is Cronin. I think Cronin, he's a disciple of Pitino. He's a terrific, terrific coach.
Mick Cronin, yeah.
Yeah, Pete Cronin. So
no,
I got
Mick
him.
Cronin. Mick Cronin. Cronin. Pete Cronin was a football player.
Right, Nick Cronin. Cronin. So I have Cronin beating UCLA. And I have an East Coast bias. I don't see the Pac-10 at 12 or how many's in the Pac now. I don't see him. I don't believe in him.
So. Good. That's modern thinking. Yeah. If I don't see it or touch it, who right. cares about
it? Well, we're in the Trump era,
that's
Tony.
Great. I like it. How about Middle Tennessee Butler?
Oh, I've got Middle Tennessee beating Butler. Then I have them losing to North Carolina.
That's fine. And you have UNC in the Final Four.
I do. I have so far on that side of the bracket. I got Louisville and UNC.
You got a
UNC.
2-1 at the moment. Okay, right. The Villanova bracket.
Okay, well, Villanova here. I'm for Villanova because of Josh Hart, who played at Sidwell Friends.
That's right.
I saw him play in high school, and what a player and what a leader. So I've got Villanova going pretty deep. And upsets on the in the East, I've got Virginia Tech beating Wisconsin, a 9-8. I've got Marquette beating South Carolina. So those are the two in the East bracket. In the first round.
So you are keeping UVA in this. A lot of people are taking them out early, but you're keeping them in for a while.
Well, UNC Wilmington is better than people think, but, you know, I'm keeping them in for at least one game.
Okay. Villanova, Virginia Tech.
Villanova.
And Virginia, Florida.
I got Florida.
SMU, Baylor in the Battle of Texas.
SMU.
And Marquette, Duke.
Duke, just because I think Duke is one of those teams that definitely can win it all.
Yeah,
and
they can.
If Grayson Allen doesn't trip anybody or anything.
Even if he does, they can still win it all.
Yep.
If he trips them late enough in the game,
right.
so
it
doesn't
exactly.
really hurt. Villanova, Florida.
I got Villanova.
And SMU, Duke.
Duke.
And that sets up, and I think a lot of people have this. This is one of the regions where the one and the two look like a great game. It
yes.
does. Who do
yeah.
you like to win this?
I've got Duke winning it because I think Duke still has more upside potential. I think Krzyzewski and the other people are right. They still haven't quite peaked yet as a team,
right.
which is a frightening thought. And I just think that Krzyzewski, being the master that he is, will have them whipped up into a froth by that time, and I think they'll make it to the Final Four.
Okay, we'll go to the Gonzaga region, where the only question is, at what point do you eliminate Gonzaga? Maybe you don't eliminate Gonzaga.
I do eliminate them eventually. Upsets. I have Vandy over, I hate to say this for Wilbon's sake, but I have Vandy over Northwestern.
Let me just tell you something. At that game, when Wilbon is there, and Kevin Blackstone is there, and Rachel Nichols is there, and Jay Adonde is there.
Greeny.
And Mike Greenberg is there, and every troll who ever went
right.
to the Medill School is there.
Right.
Nothing could be better than to see them lose by 45 points.
Tony,
now, I don't think it's going to happen.
Tony,
I think they're going to win. But
I tell you what, I completely identify with your vindictiveness.
Yeah. I'm tired of Northwestern.
Yeah, I know. They've had their moment already. They had the thing. They had the video where everybody jumping up and down in the
Enough.
Arena. You know, come on.
And I like Chris Collins, and I like Doug Collins. I love Wilbon. I think it's a great school. I want them going out.
By the way, Colgate has been in the NCAA twice as many times as Vandy.
Yeah.
I mean, excuse me, as Northwestern. So come on.
All right. Go down the bracket.
All right. Now, since I'm also now a professor at the University of Pennsylvania, I saw the...
You're not going Princeton over Notre Dame.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Okay.
Well, why not? I mean, I saw them play. Look, I haven't seen that many teams play in person.
Right.
Princeton,
Dr. Professor Feynman.
Okay, they got one guy. They got one guy.
Three DP, as people refer to him.
Yeah, that's
3DP.
All right, they got one guy who's, if he gets hot, they've got a shot.
Who, so, Bill Bradley?
No, it's some guy named Weiss.
I don't know. You mean from Rifkin Weiss, the law firm?
It's not the Jewish spelling. He's probably Catholic, so
okay.
That's good.
All right. Okay.
All right. So I'm picking them. I'm picking Xavier over Maryland because I think Maryland's just no good.
Okay.
All right. And the second, and so then we got, I've got West Virginia.
Wait. What about Florida State? Florida Gulf
Coast? Yeah. Florida State. I have Florida State going deep.
Okay, and St. Mary's VCU.
St. Mary's, again, I don't know anything about them, but they're good.
So what does that mean? You're picking them over VCU?
Yes, I'm picking them over VCU.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, because I love somebody who says, I don't know anything about them, but they're good. But if you don't know anything about them.
We are in the Trump era.
That's
so
fantastic.
I'm freed from all facts here.
Okay. All right. Gonzaga, Vanderbilt.
I've got Gonzaga. I've got West Virginia beating Princeton. I've got FSU beating Xavier, and I've got St. Mary's over Arizona.
That's giant. That is a giant pick. That is onions. That really is. That's a big one.
Yeah, these are
especially since you know nothing about them.
Well, they're good.
So great.
Well, they're good.
It's
well,
so
they have. What I know about them is that they have the 11th best RPI.
Yeah.
In the last 10 games. I'm using that last 10 games thing.
There's
a theory here.
They've only lost one other game other than the games they lost to Gonzaga.
Yeah,
which
they're
was three
good.
Games.
They're good.
They are good.
All right. If you think Gonzaga is good, then you got to think St. Mary's is good. It's not completely irrational.
Okay, Gonzaga, West Virginia.
Okay, I've got Gonzaga over West Virginia.
Uh-huh.
Although I think that'll be good. Again, on coaches, Bobby Huggins is good, but
he is good.
He loses his cool at some point in the tournament. Usually,
often you know what I mean? When a food truck drives by. All right, Florida State, St. Mary's.
Okay, I've got Florida State. I think I have Florida State in the Final Four.
Wow. Cool. So you're taking Gonzaga. You're the only person, the only celeb that we've had so far that has done that to go Florida State.
I have seen, again, this is the product of what I've seen and not seen. Now being an ACC fan.
You have three, you have four ACC teams in.
No, not in the Final Four.
Really?
No, I got North Carolina. I got three ACC teams in North Carolina. Oh, that's right.
Wait,
I
have four.
Yes.
You have all four. This has never happened before. You have Duke, Florida State, Louisville, and UNC.
Well, best conference.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think Florida State, they've got a couple of guards. The one that I like is Davis Bacon or whatever his name is.
Nah,
Dwayne.
Yeah,
Dwayne
he hasn't
Bacon.
Done that well. Kevin Bacon. He hasn't
I
done that
Bacon.
Well lately. All right, Duke, Florida State. Who you got?
Okay, I've got Duke, and then I've got just since I'm committed to Louisville, I got Louisville beating UNC. They played them pretty well, not great last time. They'll play them better. Patino's a very good coach, and he's a great game coach. Patino's a great game coach. So I got Duke, Louisville.
So's
in the final.
Other guy. So's the other guy who's going to play him in the finals.
Yeah, he is. He is. He is.
So who's winning?
I've got Louisville winning it all.
So great.
Boy.
It's just so great.
Boy,
to
Howard.
See you get to that position makes us so happy.
Well, I had to eliminate Kansas early, as you pointed out.
Right, in order to get there. This makes us so happy in the Trumpian world that you would get Louisville all the way there.
We value loyalty.
Even though Mitch McConnell went on TV and obviously must have made a fool of himself.
Yeah, they're a terrific team, Tony. I like their work. I love their work.
Thank you, Howard.
Okay, Tony.
This tournament's going to be
Howard
huge.
Howard Fineman, boys and girls, this tournament will be huge. Howard Fineman, we will take a break. We will come back. We'll come back with old guy Seth Davis of CBS will join us.
That's right.
He, too, will pick brackets. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the upside read. You're going to save a ton of money and get an Amazon gift card worth $100, $200, even $300 every time you buy a trip at upside.com. Now, why did they do that? Upside uses a proprietary big data software engine to instantly find the top six flights and top six hotels that save money for companies while meeting the specific needs each trip. You pick your flights, you pick your hotel, then you buy them together for one low price. The bundled pricing saves money, especially on business travel. So Upside gives you a free Amazon gift card. You still get the same cancellation and change privileges as if you had bought your flights and hotels separately. You still get all your miles. Check out Upside.com if you're shopping for business or personal travel. Take 3 minutes and see how much you can save by buying your flights and hotel together for one low price. Go to Upside.com, and at the top of the page is a microphone. If you click on it, it will ask you for a promo code, and that code is Tony, T-O-N-Y. Use my name, Tony. You're guaranteed to get at least a $200 Amazon gift card your first trip. My name, Tony, gets you at least a $200 Amazon gift card free. So you save big on travel, and you get a big gift card every trip. Upside.com, promo code Tony. Minimum purchase applies. See the site for details.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Chris Montez is Old Guy Radio. As we continue, actually, we're off tomorrow, so we're done with these dopey dance songs, which are awful. All of them are awful. Every cliched thing in the world is a dance song.
Yes, but don't you love this song?
I do. I like the song.
I told you what I think of the first time. Every time I hear this song, I immediately think of Otter and Bluto and the guys at Animal House.
Yeah. Only like one of the 10 greatest movies of all time, which I've only seen 3,000. Between that and Caddyshack, 3,000 hours in my life. Seth Davis of CBS joins us now, more importantly, of Bullis High School and of Duke as well. Seth, I've watched Seth now on TV the last week. Seth is all over my TV, either on CBS or True or whatever, you know, ungodly set they have on with different people every single day. And Seth is there and he's talking about basketball, which is wonderful. Although you've never won this challenge. This is like, I'm sort of surprised because you're a pro. How come you've never won this?
Well, first of all, Uncle Tony, hello.
Yeah.
Second of all, you know, everyone asks people, what's the key to winning, you know, my bracket pool? And my number one piece of advice is do not use my picks. I like to pick upsets, man. You know me, Tony. I'm a risk taker. So with other people's, I hate to say money, because I know nobody's using this for gambling purposes.
Nobody at all. Nobody at all. Certainly not Rick Neuheisel. How about Rick Neuheisel? I'll just segue just for a second on the Rick Neuheisel thing, because I know Rick Neuheisel a little bit. I met him a couple of times, and I really did like him. Rick Neuheisel got popped because not that he was in a pool, because everybody's in a pool, that the people at, I guess, Washington, was it? They thought he was in the pool for too much money. That's ridiculous. That what do you care how much money he's in for? It's a pool. If you let somebody be in for $2, let somebody be in for $1,250, right? What's the big deal?
Well, not to tread too much ground, and I know Rick quite well. The thing that got him was the NCAA asked him about it, and he didn't. He was caught off guard and didn't quite give the best answer he possibly could.
Oh, that's not good. No, don't cover it up.
Martha Stewart action.
Yeah, don't cover it up. All right, you ready to go? You ready to go in the top right, Kansas?
For it, man.
All right, give me every upset in the top right.
Top right, we're in the Midwest, okay?
Kansas.
So, keeping in mind that I literally fill up my bracket in 5 minutes because I'm going on the selection show. I need to make all my picks. I put Nevada in the Sweet 16. It's not going to be easy for them. Not a lot of confidence because they'd have to get by Iowa State and Purdue. But just so you know, I look for teams that did well during the regular season, won their league during the regular season. So Nevada was the best team in the Mountain West all season long.
Okay.
Older team. I also have Rhode Island in the Sweet 16. I love them over Creighton. Creighton, because they're playing well late, and Creighton had an injury. Oregon also has an injury, but it's probably not that serious in terms of what they do. So I have Rhode Island in the Sweet 16, which, again, is a long shot, but I love them over Creighton. And then, you know, I did not pick Michigan over Louisville, but looking down at my bracket here, I originally did, and then I crossed it out because I thought I was getting too risky.
Are you getting ahead? You're getting ahead of me now. You're getting ahead of me.
Yeah,
how about Miami-Michigan State?
Well, you know, that's a coin flip, really. I mean, I have Michigan State. I think they're the better team. The problem is Michigan State, they're so young, they're really relying on their freshmen. But I think they got better when they started relying more and more on their freshmen. And if you haven't seen this kid, Miles Bridges, play the freshman forward for Michigan State, he's a special player. So I've got Michigan State, but it's kind of a coin flip there.
I'm going to assume you picked Purdue over Vermont.
Correct.
Okay, so Kansas, Michigan State. Now, we've had two people today. We've had Barry Svrluga and Howard Fineman knock out Kansas in the second round with Michigan State. Are you doing that?
No.
Okay.
No. Although if Barry said it, it must be true. But
I don't know.
You know, Michigan State, they've Kansas, until like the last week of the season, Kansas was going to be my pick to win the whole thing.
Right.
Kansas, I mean, all they've done all year is win. They're an older team. They've got great guards. They're a great prototype. I mean, how often can you say a team has the National Player of the Year and he's the second-best player on his own team? So I love Kansas.
Okay, so you have Kansas beating Michigan State. Nevada, Purdue. You have Nevada, right?
Nevada over Purdue, yeah. Why
okay,
not?
You have Nevada over Purdue, the Wolf Pack.
You know, on average, there's almost three double-digit seeds in the Sweet 16 every year, just so everybody knows that.
Rhode Island, Oregon.
I got Rhode Island.
See, that's big.
Confidence.
That's big. I mean, you're taking out Oregon.
Yeah.
That's big. All right. Yeah. And Louisville, I assume you have Do you have Louisville over Michigan?
I do, yeah.
Okay. So, okay, you got, in the Sweet 16, you got Nevada at 12 and Rhode Island at 11. So what about Kansas, Nevada?
I like Kansas in that one.
And at the bottom?
I like Louisville.
So so we revert to chalk, which everybody does in the last eight. They really do.
Which
and they should.
Which is what happens. Exactly.
I mean, that's the pattern. Get them out by the last eight. Kansas, Louisville. Who's in the final four?
Kansas.
Okay. So here's the question that I have, because I have Kansas in my final four as well.
Okay.
And this is what I don't know. They have won four or five games literally in the last second or in overtime. All these close games they win. Are they really good because they win these, or are they really lucky and is someone going to beat them? That's what I don't know.
You know what? It's a great – I don't know that either.
I don't know.
I will say this. I tend towards the former because there are, I've seen too many games they played this season where they, by all rights they should have lost.
And they win.
But I just, they ha- I feel like they have a championship will. And that little dude at the point, Frank Mason.
He's good. He's a great player.
I mean, he committed to Towson out of high school. I mean, he's a tough kid now. I just don't think he'll let them lose.
Okay, let's go to the North Carolina bracket and give me your first round. Any upsets?
Yeah, I love Middle Tennessee. I've loved them all season long. I think Minnesota's good. They'll have to play well to beat them. But, you know, Minnesota lost one of their better defensive guards in Akeem Springs, their lone senior. And Middle Tennessee, again, Tony, they've dominated Conference USA all season long. I think they probably would have gotten an at-large bid had they not won that tournament or at least been in the conversation. So it's not like they're a fluke as a 12. They're a legit 12.
Okay.
Remember, this is the same team that beat Michigan State last year in the first round, and their leading scorer didn't even play last year because he was a transfer from Arkansas. So they're actually better than that team.
Okay. Anything else there?
In the whole first round, you know, Wichita State over Dayton is technically a seed upset, but it's not. I think at the line, I think that Wichita State's favored by like 6 or 7.
They should be.
Like that, so.
They're the most underseeded team in the entire tournament. They by far.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And that's just to get them against Kentucky in the second round, like it was 3 years ago. So UNC, right. Arkansas. You have UNC, I assume.
I actually have Seton Hall, but I have, yeah, okay. Carolina coming out of there.
Okay, that's okay. That's a technical upset. This is the Bob Ryan conversation that right. we have all the time. Middle Tennessee Butler.
I like Middle Tennessee.
Good. Good. Again, yeah. You've got a high seed into the Sweet 16. Cincinnati, UCLA?
I love UCLA.
And Kentucky, UCLA. Wichita State?
Kentucky.
Okay, so this, and now I get to my next question. These are the only two questions yep. I have. One is about Kansas okay. and one is about the Pac-12. Because I go to sleep early, and I don't see the Pac-12, and I don't know the Pac-12 at all. I want to believe that Arizona, Oregon, and UCLA are really great because it's a really great conference, but I don't know because I don't honestly see them. Is it a really great conference?
No, they're three great teams. Beyond that, you okay. know, USC getting in the first four, needing to come back last night from 17 down.
Yeah.
And everybody else is terrible. I mean, that's one thing that nobody's been saying, that the Pac-12 has been terrible this year. Those three teams... Any of them can win the national championship. The rest of the teams are bupkis.
Okay, all right. UNC, Middle Tennessee. It ends for Middle Tennessee there, I assume.
Yes, it does.
And at the bottom of the bracket, UCLA, Kentucky, in a game, and I've said this before, that could be a 95-91 game. Could be the greatest game you've ever seen. Could be.
Hope it is. But I like UCLA. Kentucky is a team that can go out early, I'm just saying. Now they've shored up some of their deficiencies because they depended more on their older guys as the season went on. But you know, as great as Malik Monk is, he can give you a 4-for-16 game too. So just bear that in mind if people want to get really risky with an upset.
Okay, UCLA, UNC.
I got UCLA. I have UCLA.
Have you met the dad?
Lonzo.
Have you met the dad? I've now watched the dad. I think I've watched the dad 45 minutes in the last 2 days because he's on all the time. The notion of a $1 billion contract, that's fine if you have three NBA stars. If you got one kid in the NBA and a couple of kids in high school, you're not getting $1 billion. What do you make of the dad?
Well, you know, everyone says, well, you know, he's really smart. He's doing it for his brand. Well, like, I mean, how's Stephen Curry's brand doing right now?
Yeah.
So, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, look, I mean, I got my own kids to raise. I'm not, like, outraged about it. I get what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's having fun. People can talk about Earl Woods, Richard Williams.
Especially
That's
if
fine.
He gets the money.
You know what, Tony, I believe in karma. I believe in the basketball gods, and I just don't think you want to poke that bear. Let his sons play speaks loudly enough without his dad being everywhere saying that he's better than Stephen Curry. I could have beaten Michael Jordan. So it's fun for a while, but that worm turns pretty quickly.
I would think
so.
I don't
think it's very smart.
All right, let's go to the Villanova region. Tell me what you got in the first round, Seth.
First round in the Villanova region, my upset special, East Tennessee State. It's partly because I do like the team that, you know, at that level, you don't see big guys. You don't see a lot of speed and athleticism. They have both. Their best forward is a guy who transferred out of Indiana because he had some off-court issues, not because he wasn't good enough to play. And Florida lost their best big guy to a season-ending ACL injury a few weeks ago. So... Mm-hmm. They were seeded at fourth based on their overall record, but they're not as good, I think, as they were with that guy. They lost to Vanderbilt, you know, twice down the stretch. So that's a good upset as a 13-over-4 taking a chance. I know a lot of people like UNC Wilmington. I do, too. I just think,
you know, it's so hard to prepare for Tony Bennett's style. And so, I mean, they certainly could win the game, but I went with the Cavaliers in that one.
How about Marquette?
Yeah, I took Marquette. I took Marquette. South Carolina did not play well the last month of the season.
Bad conference.
Kind of a grinding, bad conference, and also just they have kind of a grinding, defense-oriented style. That gets old after a while. I think they kind of lost their steam.
Wisconsin, Virginia Tech in the 8-9.
I like Wisconsin. You know, Virginia Tech is small, and Wisconsin's good at controlling the tempo, and they went through a rough stretch as well, but played well in the Big Ten tournament. So I like Wisconsin there.
All right, Villanova, Wisconsin. Would have been a great, great game
Villanova.
2 years ago. Villanova. Villanova's
Villanova.
Really good. They're really good.
Really good.
Villanova, East Tennessee. I'm not sorry, Virginia, East Tennessee.
Yeah, I got Virginia. I got Virginia over East Tennessee there.
Okay.
And then
SMU?
SMU. I like SMU to beat Baylor. I feel like that feels like a popular second-round pick for a lot. I think SMU is very underseeded. I think SMU should have been closer to a 4 than 6.
I mean,
I don't know how they ended up.
The over-under for me is exactly when the NCAA gives the death penalty to all Baylor athletics. All. And says, just stop and get out now.
I think maybe there's a women's volleyball team will survive and everything else.
Marquette Duke.
What a horrendous deal that is.
That's a lack of that's like the lack of institutional control bowl, SMU versus Baylor.
Yeah. How about Marquette Duke?
hey, how about Wojo against Coach K, huh? Wojo will be for Clemp the whole game.
Yeah.
Duke's a much better team.
All right, I am going to assume you're going to take Villanova over Virginia. They played once this year, didn't they? Didn't they play and wasn't it a two-point game?
Yes, they played the end of January.
It's a two-point game
in
Philly.
That's right. I actually forgotten about that game, and it came down to the I think DiVincenzo at the end hit a shot.
Yeah, on a rebound.
There you go. There you go. I've forgotten about that game. Yeah, I like Villanova that one.
And you like Duke at the bottom?
I like Duke.
Okay, who wins? That's a great game to watch. Who wins Villanova-Duke?
Can you imagine Duke and Villanova, East Regional, Madison Square Garden, how much fun that would be?
It's great.
I like Duke. I think Duke matches up well, matches up in a way with Villanova that no other team in the tournament, maybe Kansas could with that perimeter court. But I just love the way Duke's playing right now.
Full disclosure, you have a degree from what university?
Duke University, otherwise known as Feinstein U.
Feinstein U. Feinstein U.
So most people are referring it to that, but I appreciate using the old school name, Duke University.
All right, let's go to the bottom, the Gonzaga one. All you have to do to make me happy is take out Northwestern in the first round, but I don't know that you will.
Oh, come on.
No.
Come on. You're going to have to suffer through Wilbon for two more days.
Okay, so you're going to move them on.
I like Northwestern. Yeah, they're a legitimately good team.
Yeah,
you know, they're not like a fluke team.
Yeah, no, they're good. They're good. All right, who else in that region?
Florida Gulf Coast is my specialty there. I love them all season long. Again, won their league. Again, they have they have size. A lot of these mid-major teams, Tony, don't have size, and they get overwhelmed with either size or athleticism. That won't be the case. They got a terrific transfer point guard and Brandon Goodwin, who might be the best player they've ever had in that program. So I like them not only to beat Florida State, but to knock off the hometown Maryland Terrapins and advance to the Sweet 16. So that's another double-digit seed in the Sweet 16.
Right.
And then again, it might be a technical upset in terms of the seed line. But, you know, VCU over St. Mary's, I don't know that's a huge upset. But VCU can really bring the lumber defensively. And as St. Mary's pretty good now. I mean, they're very offensively skilled. But, you know, when they go up against quick teams, they struggle. So I like VCU there.
Do you give Northwestern a shot against Gonzaga, or do the Zags move on?
I'd say the Zags move on, but they're going to have to play well. I mean, again, I do think Northwestern's pretty good. But they're going to have let me tell you now. A lot of teams are going to have a hard time with the big fella inside, Shemek Karnowski. Remember the movie The Big Lebowski?
Sure.
He's like the rug. He ties the room together. So I'm not saying he's like the second coming of Shaq or Tim Duncan, but you're talking about 7'1", 300 pounds, can really move, very skilled, runs the floor, and he gets opposing big men into foul trouble all the time. So he just makes that team really, really hard to beat.
Notre Dame, West Virginia?
I love the Irish. I love the Irish.
And you got Florida Gulf Coast beating Maryland, and at the bottom, VCU, Arizona.
Arizona.
Okay, Arizona. So now Gonzaga. The question just becomes, at what point do you take Gonzaga out? Do you take him out here?
Tony, I got Gonzaga in the Final Four.
I've
been watching them all year. You know, people say, well, their league is lame. But if their league is lame and they're that good, they should win every game by 30 points, right?
Right.
Well,
that's what they do. Yeah.
That's what they do. I mean, they didn't squeak by. They didn't have a bad night. You know, I did feel like at the end, you know, the collar got a little bit tight with BYU in that home game. But, I mean, they destroy people. I mean, destroy people in that league. And I'm frankly tired of people, you know, poo-pooing them for not getting this far. And I'm really hoping that they do it.
Does that worry you, though, Seth, that they don't play any of those close games? Because they're sure to find a couple of them over the course of four or five games in here.
Absolutely worries me. Yeah. Absolutely worries me because, you know, again, it's not that they're fraudulent as far as they're not that good. They haven't gone through, you know, being down six with a minute.
That's right. No, that's right. That's like Kentucky 3 years ago. That's what happens. You can't win five tough games if you haven't played any.
You
got to be real good. Yeah. Yeah. All right, at the bottom of the bracket, I assume you have Arizona, and then you have Gonzaga beating them.
Gonzaga beating Arizona.
Okay, Duke Gonzaga.
I like Duke.
Yeah, so that's the end for Gonzaga. That's good to know.
Yeah.
And Kansas UCLA.
I like Kansas.
Okay. Who wins?
Duke.
Oh, the hometown pick. The hometown pick.
I love my Blue Devils. I love my university. I love the whole experience. But you know what I love more, Tony? Me.
Yeah.
I love me more. So believe me, I picked against them enough. It was like, you think against Duke? I'm like, I think they're gonna lose. Maybe I hope they win. I admit that, but you know, believe me, I was a latecomer. I mean, I thought they were going to lose to Louisville in the ACC, but you're talking about coming back from double-digit deficits in the second half against Louisville and North Carolina, and then I think they were down by 7 or 9 to Notre Dame. I mean, there's a mental toughness there that I frankly did not think was there. And, you know, they're finally healthy. They're finally healthy.
The Tatum kid is really good. He's really good now.
He understands his role. And you know what? The emergence of the other freshman, Frank Jackson, is now starting. They're bringing Grayson Allen off the bench, and I'm proud of Grayson Allen. You know, I mean, he's been through a lot. I mean, I watched the game last night. You know, the USC Providence game, and as USC was making their run, their big guy Ed Cooley, Providence, called the timeout. Metu walked right through the Providence huddle. One of the Providence kids kind of gave him a shimmy with his elbow. Metu turn around and talk smack to him and walk back to his bench. And I'm thinking to myself, if that was Grayson Allen, it would break Twitter.
No, suspended for life. Suspended for life. Never allowed back in. Shoeless Joe Jackson right there.
People were saying Grayson Allen should be suspended for 5 games.
Well, Seth Greenberg said it. He said to sit him down for the whole year. Seth Greenberg said that.
Seth said he should shut down for the year. I mean, I think he was concerned about the kid's well-being maybe. But, you know, if you punch somebody in the face, you get suspended for 1 game. So they're saying that Grayson Allen tripping people a couple of times. So
suspended
anyway,
for life.
But he's also healthy, which was a big part of his struggles, that is that he wasn't healthy. So he's healthy now, ready to go. I think Feinstein U is ready to
win the national. So we will see you all over TV for the next 3 weeks. You will not be sleeping at all from Thursday to Sunday night, right? You're on continuously.
Sleep is overrated.
That's how I feel. That's why I go over to sleep, but I only get 4 hours of sleep, and then I'm up. So thank you, Seth. Goodness. Talk to you soon.
Tony, I love you, man. Thank you for having me.
Seth Davis, boys and girls. A local. We always like it when we get locals on. We will take a break. We will come back with a jingle, with some email. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Flights of stairs, so you know it's not in one of my homes. If I was in Rehoboth, I'd take the elevator. My guests arrive via limo, and then are taken away like Tessio.
Smart.
I can't allow them to unveil this information. Said that us take a guess, you know we're plausibly alive. All right here in our undisclosed location. You'll never get it, unless a lizard keeps tweeting out pictures.
Yeah, stop that, Chris. Stop that. This is Jason Fuse. professional musician. That's part one. We have a part two to that.
Yes,
song.
We'll play that on Monday.
Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thank you to Barry Zwerluga, Howard Fineman, and Seth Davis. I'd also like to thank our sponsors today, Upside.com, Audible Books, and Movement Watches. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Are we, Michael, one last time about getting into the bracket challenge or whatever that is?
Enter the Tony Kornheiser Show group at the ESPN Tournament Challenge. We're going to make sure that all of the brackets you've heard on air are in the featured group section along with regulars to the show.
From DB in Charlottesville, Virginia, during yesterday's mailbag, you said, and I quote, "If you are carrying an Olive Garden gift card, there's not much more that we need to know. Just checking in to inquire about the balance remaining on the Subway gift card in your wallet."
Valid question.
About 40 bucks. From Edward Butt, "The incomparable Robert Berg is in town, so area littles are gathering on Tuesday, March 21st, 6-ish, at the Waterloo in Louisville, Colorado. In addition to TIRB, those expected to attend include Dave Morrow, Scott Imus, Doug Adams, Ed Butt, and most important, Lori Sherwood, celebrating her birthday. Any littles in the Denver Boulder area are welcome to join us. Just whisper La Cheeserie to the bouncer." That's from Ed Butt. That's connective
Sweet.
Tissue.
There you go.
Katie McGonigal, diving coach for Covington Catholic and Notre Dame Academy, writes, "Dear Mr. Tony, after years of waiting, I finally had my David Aldridge moment. I coach high school diving in Northern Kentucky, where we practiced at, you guessed it, Northern Kentucky University. The last weekend in February was the state meet held at the University of Louisville. I had the pleasure of watching Brooke Forty break two state records. My first thought when I saw her name was that Pat Forty must be here, and I know him. I never ended up seeing Pat, but took great pleasure knowing we were in the same place."
That's
his
great.
Kids are great swimmers.
Yes.
From Alex Lau in New York City, "You got to think Spike Braun was tampering with his phone yesterday in an attempt to push his interview back to tomorrow so that he could miss some class time as opposed to spending his two-hour delay picking
we
games.
We just discussed this off-air.
I'm surprised you didn't make us wait until the end to hear him, as we all know he's the only one who knows what he's doing with these brackets. I guess you were just going in order of who would do best to worst this year, Spike, Phil's mom, and then acclaimed sports writer Pat Forty." From Robert Henderson in Washington, D.C., "You could single-handedly end the Sheena Parveen Chuck Bell saga that has gripped Storm 4 Nation the last few months. Take Sheena's bracket on air. Don't bother to get Chuck's, and he's done. No March snowstorm could bring his spirits back." From Meredith Buzzy, head women's lacrosse coach at Kenyon, "I am more than happy to send approved Kenyan women's lacrosse quarter zip pullovers to the crew. Nigel might get a novelty Kenyan shirt because of his affiliation with that school down the street," and that is
Denison.
Right. Yeah. "Otherwise, I'll just send a box of L's, XL's, and 2XL's, and you can disperse them as you wish. Sincerely, Meredith." P.S. Sam Angel has conceded, and I will also be sending him something as a consolation prize.
Beat down Sam
not
Angel.
A statue of a shirtless Vladimir Putin riding a bear.
Congrats to Coach Buzzy and the Kenyan ladies who notched a W yesterday.
And from Sam Angel.
Uh-oh.
On Drexel Hill, Pennsylvania.
Dueling emails.
"I will be sure to bring the young Ms. Braun to the attention of Coach Rudloff and to the rest of our coaching staff as the SID for the Dragons. I am personally not typically involved in recruiting, scouting, or really anything that involves the actual playing of the game of lacrosse, but I'll see what I can do. I see the conversation going something like this. Hey, Hannah, you know that radio show I wrote to and gave a bunch of T-shirts to so we could be their official women's lacrosse team? Coach Rudloff, no. Me, well, okay. Well, anyway, one of the co-hosts has a daughter that plays ninth grade lacrosse in Maryland. If we give her a scholarship, we can lock up the title. But I haven't seen her play. I assume her last name is Braun. First name is anyone's guess, though, but I'm pretty sure she
started
exists,
a week ago.
Unlike this other co-host's ghost daughter, meaning you. Coach Rudloff, get out. So as you can see, I'm at a number of distinct advantages in the matchup with a head coach like Coach Buzzy. While it remains to be seen whether Kenyon has chocolates that can match the Drexel variety, I am at this point strongly considering conceding the title of official women's lacrosse team of the Tony Kornheiser Show. On the other hand, I'm also beginning to consider remaining in the race if it draws other contenders in as well. Hopefully this reaches the inevitable conclusion by Memorial Day weekend when we have a littles gathering at the NCAA Women's Lacrosse Final Four presented by the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Why don't you buy a university like Ave Maria?
Yeah.
Have Coach Buzzy coach the team and have Sam do the sports information.
I don't know.
Boom.
Very because reasonable. Tom Monahan has more money than I do, and he bought Ave Maria. Paul Clark, "Mr. Tony, as a U.S. citizen living in Quito, Ecuador, it is often difficult for me to consume media from the U.S. because of the generally low level of discourse. The ad hominem attacks, the hyperbole, the incredible pervasiveness of poor reasoning pain me. For this reason, I chose to get the majority of my news from a DC podcast. I'm on a delay, but I want to congratulate you for raising the level of discourse last week in your discussion of the Purple Line. I will just quote in order to let your reasoned position of the show speak for itself. Quote, they're going to cut down every tree in Maryland. Every tree is going down. They're going to cut every tree down in the state of Maryland for a transit system that nobody is going to use. Thank you. This is truly a breath of fresh air in time when other talking heads resort to scare tactics and hyperbole. I know I can always count on you to stay above the fray, and I'm grateful for that confidence. If everybody is out tonight on their bike, do wear white.
Come on, man. What are we doing out there, man?
One other thing. We're dark tomorrow, so enjoy the day by yourselves.
Come on, man. What are we doing out there, man?
Show me where the door is. Show me where to go. Help me pack my luggage. I think it's time to go. Feels like hard times, doing hard times, oh yeah. Hand me down a sentence, hand me down a cell. I didn't know life married, feel living hell. Seems like hard times, doing hard times. When I left you, it was just like a prison break. Those stones down, breaking all those rocks. Married to the chain gang, escape those wedding locks. Feels like hard times, doing hard times. When I left you, it was just like a prison break. I need to escape this prison. God, I need to live. Feels like hard times, doing hard times. When I left you, it was just like a prison break. Pack my luggage, I think it's time to go. Feels like hard times, doing hard times. When I let you, it was just like a prison break.